Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
About 15 years ago, neurobiology researchers at UC Irvine identified an exceptionally rare cognitive condition called highly superior autobiographical memory. Individuals with HSAM are able to recall public events and personal experiences in minute, vivid, and stunningly specific detail, decades after they occurred. This ability is impressive to say the least, and can also be an entertaining party trick. When interviewed for This American Life in 2016, John DeGrandis was able to recall off the top of his head the exact date of a specific plot point in the sitcom Friends, which had aired in 1996. He can tell you about every social gathering he's had and picture which friends wore what. He can identify the day of the week for any random date in his lifetime. Becky Sharrock remembers these kinds of details too. When she was interviewed on 60 Minutes in 2018, she was asked what her day was like on April 3rd, 2005. Becky paused for about half a second. Then she said, "It was a Sunday, a week after Easter, and she had just heard that Pope John Paul II had died." As she described her memory of that day, Becky relived the taste of the leftover Easter chocolate she had eaten 13 years ago, earlier. From a clinical and statistics standpoint, this hyper-acute ability to remember is value neutral. In other words, the ability to remember is neither good nor bad. But in Jewish tradition, memory is a distinctly positive phenomenon. In fact, it is one of our most sacred obligations. The commandment Zachor, remember, appears prominently in our texts. In Exodus chapter 3, Zachor et hayom hazeh asher yitzatem mimitzrayim. Remember this day when God brought you out of Egypt. In Deuteronomy 24, Zachor et asher asa Adonai Elohecha lemiryam. Remember what God did to Miriam when she spoke slander against Moses. In Exodus chapter 20, Zachor et yom ha-shabbat l'kadsho. Remember Shabbat and keep it holy. In these and other passages of legend, law, and liturgy, the instruction is clear. We must remember the events of our past and use our memory to guide our behavior. One of the quintessential examples of the commandment Zachor is found at the end of this week's parasha, Ki Tetze. Zachor et asher asa lecha Amalek. Remember what Amalek did to you on your journey after leaving Egypt. But here, the instruction is not as clear as the others. The passage continues, Timche et zecher Amalek mitachat hashamayim lo tishkach. You shall erase the memory of Amalek. Do not forget. Honestly, what does this even mean? Remember Amalek, erase Amalek, do not forget. The contradictions of this text are confusing at best. How can we both remember and erase the memory of Amalek? I would suggest that these verses of Deuteronomy reveal a certain ambivalence about memory itself. Is it always good to remember, or are we better off forgetting certain things? Memory can be a powerful tool of identity, But remembering can also be a significant pitfall. We can become stuck in the past. Jill Price, another HSAM case, is still angry about something that happened in 1983. She can't let go of it because it still replays in her mind. Her interviewer notes, Jill says she can forgive, but she can never forget. Maybe not being able to forget hinders her ability to forgive. Back to Becky, who can enjoy the memory of the delicious chocolate she ate 13 years ago, also finds her days interrupted out of the blue by the memory of a cruel comment she received as a child. For Jill, Becky, and others with HSAM, and I dare say, for all of us, the inability to forget can lead to anger, sadness, and despair. The same can be true of our collective memory. If we remember Amalek too well, are we fated to always be looking over our shoulders for the next enemy? Jewish trauma is a heavy burden that can prevent us from embracing all that is beautiful and joyful about our heritage and about being Jews in the here and now. How much more positive and productive might we be if we could hold this kind of memory a little more lightly? There is, in fact, another passage in this week's parasha that highlights the virtue of forgetting. It concerns the mitzvah of pe'ah, leaving the corners of crop fields unharvested. The first mention of this mitzvah appears in Leviticus 23. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap all the way to the edges of your field. You shall leave them for the poor and the stranger. In this week's reading, we encounter another version of the same commandment. When you reap the harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, do not turn back to get it. It shall go to the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. The difference is subtle, but I would argue very important. In Leviticus, we are instructed to avoid reaping the edges of a field. In Deuteronomy, we are simply told not to return to reap that which we may have forgotten. Deuteronomy was written later than and with clear knowledge of the earlier books of the Torah. In many ways, Deuteronomy represents a distillation and a refinement of previously established principles. If we can accept this premise, we are invited to consider why mitzvat pe'ah, leaving harvest for the poor, is better as an act of forgetfulness than as an act of mindfulness. If we were to go with the earlier version and simply avoid the edges of the field, how would we ensure that a sufficient amount of crop is left behind? It is entirely possible that greed and selfishness could lead a farmer to obey the bare minimum of the law and leave behind only a meager and insufficient margin of grain or fruit. The Deuteronomic approach might also seem flawed because there's no guarantee that a farmer would forget part of the harvest. But if there's anything we can count on in this life, it's that humans forget. Even the 60 known people with HSAM miss certain details. In less than a month, we will observe Yom Kippur. In these days leading up to our Days of Atonement, we must seek forgiveness from those we have wronged and grant pardon to those who have wronged us. The great Hasidic teacher known as the Sfat Emet taught that a person who has repented becomes a Bria Chadasha, a new being. But tshuva is a two-way street. If we continue to see a person as a sinner and do not accept their tshuva, we ourselves become transgressors. In order to complete the work of tshuva, we must allow the memory of who they once were to fade, so we can see them as the new person they have become. We have a sacred obligation to remember, and we have a sacred obligation to forget. It is not a rigid binary, but a fluid dance, articulated beautifully by the poet Yehuda Amichai. Ha'olam male zechira v'shichecha. The world is filled with remembering and forgetting, like land and sea. Sometimes memory is the land, solid and stable, and sometimes memory is the sea that covers everything, like the great flood. And forgetting is the land that rescues, like Ararat. As we approach the days of awe, may we find solid ground in remembering, and may we look for ways to save each other by forgetting. Shabbat Shalom.